This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, July 27, 2022. Votive Mass of the Holy Cross by Father William Doc Holliday.
Kingdom of Heaven is like treasure. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. The word treasure, it's an interesting thing. There's an old adage, one man's trash is another man's treasure. People love to go to garage sales and find little treasures that are there. It's interesting to look at somebody who really takes interest in something when you see no interest in it at all. Tonight, the Votive Mass of the Holy Cross, our treasure, other men's trash. I mean that literally. There are people who denigrate the cross because of what it stands for. The cross is an interesting thing. The cross as our treasure, because what the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. What gets us into heaven? The cross gets us into heaven. The cross and nothing but the cross. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who hung on it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. No one gets to heaven save through the cross. This is reality. When we look at that, we see why we consider it a treasure. And for those who do not desire nor care about heaven, that for them is just such a symbol. This guy was, if you would ask him, or if you would ask anybody who knew it, he was on fire for the faith, Protestant guy, hardcore Calvinist, devil predestinarian. You don't find many of them who will admit being double predestinarians. Double predestinarians are guys who believe that God created some people to go to heaven and he created others to go to hell. Because if you're not elect, you go to hell. And he created you that way because if you're elect, he created you that way. As well meaning as it says, it's repugnant to God's revelation of himself. God has hated nothing that he's created. He creates nothing to go to hell. It is not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So that negates that out of hand. But this guy was into that stuff. And he pointed out one time, I can't believe these Catholics, they walk around with these crucifixes on. It would be like walking around and wearing an electric chair on your around a pendant. How ridiculous is that statement? It is absolutely ridiculous because of what happens on the cross. Not the cross in and of itself, but what happened on the cross. What happened on the cross? Who hung on the cross? Like the prayer said today, who hung on the cross? That sweetest burden that hung on the cross. The one whom the universe cannot contain, nailed to a piece of wood. That is the reality of what the cross is. This is why it is our treasure. It gets us into heaven. Have many people died on the cross? Hundreds of thousands. Many people died in an electric chair? Less than that, but thousands have died in the electric chair. Those who died in the electric chair were all criminals, unless there was the anomalous, and it happens where someone is wrongfully executed. But generally speaking, society tries not to let that happen. So it does happen on occasion. But God never died in the electric chair for our sins. God never hung from a noose for our sins. God was never decapitated for our sins. God hung on the cross for our sins. And there was a reason for that. There was a reason why God wasn't killed in any other way save hanging on the cross. And we actually learn this from extra biblical sources. Cicero. For instance, Cicero says, the philosopher, he just describing the cross in repugnance, said the cross is so despicable. It's left for the most heinous of and despised of criminals. Our Lord hung on that. Why? Because on the cross, Christ suffered more than any person has ever suffered. He suffered more because it was necessary. There isn't that much suffering involved in decapitation, save the thinking about when it's going to happen. It's over in an instant if it's done correctly. But even if it's not done correctly, it just takes a few minutes. A few minutes, that's a long time. We're getting your head cut off. Yeah, it is, but it's a whole lot less time than hours hanging on the cross. And their historical documentation, extra-biblical stuff. People hung on the cross for days. Days hung on the cross. It's kind of hard. Not drinking, not eating, hanging there for days. Remember, Pontius Pilate's actually surprised when our Lord dies in just a few hours. He went to Pilate and told him, he's dead already? Nobody dies in a few hours on the cross, no matter how bad you scourge them beforehand. He was kind of dumbfounded at that. And our Lord Jesus Christ suffered more than was necessary. This is why he wasn't killed in any other way. He did it because he suffered more than necessary because, and we should look at this as the positive thing, he suffered more than was necessary for us, but being God, the most limited of his acts has eternal and infinite consequences. One drop of Christ's blood, one drop shed for our sins, would have been enough to wipe out the sins that have ever been, were being, or will ever be committed on the face of this planet. One drop of his blood, and he emptied it all for us. This is an indication as to why we should venerate that instrument upon which he did that. You know, a lot of people ask this question. I mean, I get it quite frequently. You know, why did Christ have to suffer so much? It's all with the killing thing. You know, he's God. Can't he just like wave his God wand and forgive sins? Yes, he could have, but he didn't. He didn't because he wanted to show us some things. He wanted to be up in our face about, one, why did Christ have to suffer so much? It shows how much he loved us. It shows how much God cares for us. Why we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Why we were at enmity with God, Christ would come down from heaven. Just think about that. Get your head around. Leave heaven, come down here, live in this, and then hang on the cross for us. That's how much he loved us. It is really kind of overwhelming. We hear how much God, Christ loved us. You don't really get it until you look at the cross. And I'm really talking about one of the sanitized crosses. There are actually some remarks made on that one occasionally because it's a passion cross. It's got blood on it and things like that. Well, that's kind of up in your face, isn't it? That's nothing, nothing compared to crucifixion. You look at that and go, oh, that's kind of up in your face. Not near as up in your face as what God did when he showed us how much he loved us by sending his son to endure that. So that's why Christ had to suffer. Show how much God loves you. There isn't a person on the face of this planet that would let one of their children just die a quick death for somebody else, much less be tortured for somebody else. Okay, this shows how much God loves us. But Christ also had to suffer so much to show how greatly God is offended by sin. It shows us how much offense it is when we commit sins against God. You know, he tried to show a little picture of what was going to happen with his son, and he gives the animal sacrifices. You know, we got to sacrifice these animals all the time. You know, every year you got to go. The temple at Jerusalem, oh, the temple, how opulent, how glorious the temple was. It was grotesque. It was horrible. Most of us, we buy our meat at Publix. Most people have never gone to a slaughterhouse before. I mean, it's horrendous. And you look at the environment back there. No AC, no hot, nasty, just guts and blood all the time, everywhere. The associated bugs and things that vermin that center around things like that. And it happened continuously, day after day after day. And that was just a foreshadow of what was going to happen. Because he was showing the blood of anything in this world is not sufficient. It's just got to be ongoing, and it's never going to cease until I send my son. Because this is how bad sin offends me. This is why Christ had to die on the cross. So we've got to appreciate when we look at a cross, or when we do, when we engage with the sign of the cross. You know, this is what we're doing. We are venerating the instrument, again, that is our doorway to heaven. This is the reality. This is why the sign of the cross is so important. The sign of the cross is like the earliest Christian action that we're aware of. I mean, documented. And documented from extra big book. Where's that in the Bible? It's not in the Bible. It's in history books, like Roman history books. That was how they identified the Christians. And remember, they weren't really fond of them back in those days. They were the ones that hated the cross. They worshiped this guy who is, they say is alive again. And now they do this cannibalistic ritual where they talk about eating flesh and drinking blood. That riles people up. That sounds really repugnant, and it is. They don't understand the spiritual nature of this whole thing. They don't understand the reason why it was necessary. This is why the cross to them was trash, but for us, again, treasure. That's why the sign of the cross, again, just the sign of it is so important. You read in expositions on the catechism. They'll say, you know, we should do the sign of the cross. This is bare minimum. You should do the sign of the cross in the morning when you wake up. As soon as your feet hit the floor, you should do the sign of the cross to ask God's blessing upon that day. You do the sign of the cross every evening before you go to sleep to ask God's protection throughout the evening. You got to do the sign of the cross before any important thing happens during the day to ask that it would turn out well. And when we turn out well, not well in the way we want it, but to turn out that whole thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and whatever we do. And we bless it with the sign of the cross on which our Lord died, who did the will of the Father. And before we pray, before you pray, before you read scriptures, you should sign yourself with the cross. Because when you do that, it lets God know that you desire not to be distracted while you're doing it. So just those times are very, very important to do the sign of the cross. This is what this is all about. Because the reality of that sign of the cross, the objective nature of the application of these blessings, when we do that, there's a St. Edith of England. There's a couple St. Ediths. St. Edith of England. She's actually king's daughter. She's king's daughter, King Edgar. And 16th century, early 16th century. I think it was earlier than that. He was way back in the day. She's a king's daughter, and she was known. I was going to say infamous for, famous for, whether you liked it or not. She was always signing herself on the forehead with her thumb in the sign of the cross. It's like throughout the whole day. I mean, doing much more than this. Constantly, basically, signing herself with the cross. She was buried, and they exhumed her body. 13 years later, her whole body was corrupt and everything except for the thumb of her right hand. The thumb of her right hand was incorrupt. Which really, you always hear about these incorrupt saints anywhere where the whole body is incorrupt. That kind of a miracle really speaks to something. You know, the whole rest of her body was corrupt, like everyone else turns to dust. But the thumb on which she used to be famous for crossing herself, that was incorrupt. That really speaks to this idea of how important and how objectively real the blessings are when we sign ourselves with the cross. Because it's not just a matter of symbology for us. It is a matter of a reality of what our Savior did on the cross for us for those reasons that I spoke before. First and foremost, how much he loves us. When we think of those things we want to do, important acts of the day, you know, we want the one who loves us to bless those things, to guide us through those things. This is of the utmost importance for us, or should be, you know, because we're not talking about an instrument of death. We're actually talking about an instrument of life. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.